is Express FM.
Supported by Southern Co-op. We are passionately pumping.
New beginnings, look forward, work together to create a Portsmouth Football Club that we can all be proud to be associated with.
Pure, unadulterated pumping.
It's a massive club, it's a massive opportunity for me. I know this atmosphere is special. I can't wait to see a full house and it rocking.
Action and reaction.
This is Shrews Football Club. We're here to be hopefully successful. The infrastructure's changing, so really we want to start pushing forward and making Portsmouth a real force.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
It's a club with a rich tradition, a rich heritage, but one that has an excellent relationship with its supporters.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
A point for Pompey to kickstart 2022.
The final whistle has gone here at the Abbey Stadium, and the reaction of the home fans tells you all you need to know. They are absolutely delighted that they have held Portsmouth to a draw. It's finished goalless.
But it's time now to shift the attention away from the league and to the EFL Trophy, where tomorrow night the Blues come up against a familiar opponent.
Curtis across the face, a goal! Marquez! Marquez! He's won it! 96 minutes on the clock!
Exeter City await at St James's Park for round of 32 action, and later on this evening we'll also hear the pre-match thoughts of Danny Cowley. Thank you for choosing Express FM on this cold Thursday night. Good evening and a very warm welcome to another episode of the Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome to another change in the schedule for this week as Thursday night hosts the Football Hour for 1 week only. I will be joined until 7 o'clock by two more Pompey voices to preview the EFL Trophy round of 32 tie between Exeter and Pompey, which is being played tomorrow night at 7:30. As a result of that, this Football Hour had to be put forward a day to avoid clashing with match day. As has been the case for most of the season, tonight's show is being driven to you by Stagecoach Across the South. Download the app now from either the Apple app or Google Play Store to locate your nearest stop and find up-to-date timetable information. On the way tonight, the three of us here will be briefly discussing the impact of Monday's draw at Cambridge, but also read through the latest transfer speculation and look ahead to this weekend's trophy tie at St James's Park. And as ever, Blues fans, we are eager to hear from you back home as well. 81400 is the number to text. Start your messages with the word Express. Otherwise, you can email Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet using at expressfm, or find us over at facebook.com/ Pompey Live. However, before we do jump straight into the conversation, let's throw it back to Monday afternoon. A sold-out Abbey Stadium saw 17th place Cambridge entertain 9th place Pompey.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You want to believe?
Pompey Live.
Many people back at work, back at school tomorrow. The last afternoon of the Christmas holidays to enjoy. And Cambridge will be getting the game underway in their amber shirts, black shorts and black socks. They go from left to right as we look at things at the back of the main stand. Williams should be able to clear for Cambridge with Harness clearly fouling him. And, well, Harness is not helping himself there. And it's all kicked off down in front of us, because Harness seemed to put his knee on the head of Williams, and that really, really annoyed the Cambridge side. Off, off is the chance. Harness is going to be in trouble here, and it's silly and needless. Referee still chatting to Harness and tells him to clear off with no punishment to the anger of the home fans around us. Still 0-0. This is dangerous. Cambridge into the area. May with the shot. Save by Mizuno. The follow-up. Oh, wonderful block. Brilliant from Romeo. Denying Brophy. Wonderful defending by the Millwall Loney. Ball out of play, Pompey throw, danger averted. Chested up in the air on halfway by Smith, and the free kick goes Portsmouth's way, and Smith has to be a little bit careful as he is on a yellow card, and he's going to be spoken to here, but it's not worth another booking. Well, has he shown him a second yellow card here? Looks like Smith has been shown a second yellow card here, and Cambridge are going to play the final half hour with 10 men. as Sam Smith makes his way off. Nocodina clears away. Hackett, just inside the penalty area to the dead ball line, trying to stand it up to the middle. Nodded down by Hurst. Romeo with the effort! Across goal! Cleared away! Morello pick it up on the edge of the box. But Cambridge are going to survive and clear it out for a throw. Thought Romeo was going to drill it into the net. 83 minutes on the clock. In reality, 15 to 20 minutes of injury time after a stoppage due to an incident within the crowd. May to deliver. Right-footed. Has he got enough on it? It's flicked on. Bazuno fumbles it and then falls on it. Ball's going to come in. Can they defend it? May to the far post. Raggett heads away. There in the box. Shot. Just wide. Inches wide from Iredale. Pompey survived, but that's not convincing defending. 0-0. Harness. Harness, can he drive into the penalty area? Harness trying to get round Dunks. Harness to the dead ball line, drilled across. Loose in the area. Charles over the bar! A bad miss from Curtis from 8 yards out. Still 0-0. The final whistle has gone here at the Abbey Stadium. And the reaction of the home fans tells you all you need to know. They are absolutely delighted that they have held Portsmouth to a draw. It's finished goalless.
Every second of the action is right here. Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
The highlights there of Monday afternoon at the Abbey Stadium, where Pompey and Cambridge played out a 0-0 draw in League One. Of the Blues now reach the halfway stage of their domestic season. 23 matches played, 10 victories, 7 draws and 6 defeats in League One. 28 goals scored, 22 conceded. That is a goal difference of plus 6 and an accumulation of 37 points. That is also now 10 matches unbeaten in the league for Danny Cowley's side, and also 5 clean sheets in a row and just 6 points off the playoff positions with a game in hand. It's not so bad after all. And joining me over the phone lines this afternoon to talk a little bit about that one, but mainly later on talk about some transfer rumours and preview tomorrow night's EFL Trophy round of 32 action. First and foremost, I'm delighted to welcome onto the show Ryan Honey. Ryan, pleasure as always, my friend, to have you back on.
Yeah, perfect to be here, Jake. Thanks very much for having me.
And alongside him this evening is Tom Malley, also back home, joining us over the powers of the internet. Tom, again, great to have you on, my friend.
Yeah, evening, mate. Hope you're well. Good to be back as always.
Great to have you both back on. So let's start the show by talking a little bit about Monday's game. We had enough time on Tuesday night here on the Football Hour to pick it apart in a lot of detail. But Ryan, overall, a 0-0 draw to start 2022. Look, it's not the ideal way to start the new year. I'm sure Danny Cowley would be frustrated with the amount of chances that were wasted in the game and the opportunities to win the match. However, it is a point. You take it and you move on.
I think you've knocked the nail on the head there, Jake. It's not ideal. 10 men, stoppage time coming out your ears, and you feel as though we're going to push on and grab the 3 points. But it wasn't to be. We probably didn't create as many chances as we should have done. With the numerical advantage that we managed to open up on the pitch, it didn't quite happen for us. And for whatever reason, Cowley made the changes even then. It didn't quite happen, but I don't think it's something to be too downhearted about. We just need to pick ourselves up and go again.
Yeah, and looking at the stats as well, as we've just mentioned there, Tom, 10 matches unbeaten in the league. It's 5 clean sheets in a row for Pompey. A draw at Cambridge, albeit they are somewhat 17th from the table. They're not a side that are going to be chasing promotion this season. The old cliche, you say it over and over again, any match in this division is going to be a difficult one. Cambridge aren't the worst team in the world. They are difficult to play at the Abbey Stadium. Off the back of 3 weeks with no action for Pompey, and likewise Cambridge as well, recovering from COVID, recovering from various illnesses, are you happy just to accept the fact that we didn't lose on Monday? We could have easily lost that game. We didn't. And now it's time to kick on. I've got a trophy match tomorrow, potentially again on Tuesday night. But you look forward to the MK Dons game. And that is where the second half of the season truly starts.
Yeah, I think you're right there. Extended the unbeaten run and another clean sheet. I think it kind of was signs of a side that hadn't played for just over 3 weeks. I think the disappointment is that we probably would have hoped and expected to have beaten Cambridge prior to the game. But coming away from home with a point and a clean sheet, it's not all doom and gloom, as you say. You take it and you move on, and hopefully we can get back to winning ways as soon as possible. But you know, as you say, it's not all doom and gloom, and you know, pick ourselves up and go again, as a famous manager once said.
Given the kind of starts of the season Pompey had, Ryan, I know three matches in a row where Pompey were victorious and not conceding a goal until late August as well, but that two-month period where Pompey didn't pick up a victory in any competition, real tough spot for Danny Cowley's side. Now eighth from the table, 6 points off of playoffs with a game in hand, exactly half a season remaining. Do you think the Blues are in an ideal position to now attack the top six, try and go for promotion, and sort of maybe sneak in as an underdog, maybe as someone who's not quite expected to get promotion this season? These are the matches you want to win. This is kind of the area of the campaign where you really want to kick on now. It's not how you start it. It is how you finish it.
Yeah, no. We're going for a very important phase of our season, like you say, on a very good run of form in the league. And heading into this important January transfer window, you know, we want to bolster our squad, and I think that will help us heading into the latter stages of the season. Obviously, it's not the biggest squad, and a few injuries here and there may set us back, but it's still a strong squad nonetheless. And I think, you know, we've got to trust Danny Cowley in this January transfer window to bring in the players that he wants. I mean, he's only had one window, and there was a massive overhaul, and already we're in a good position. So, you know, you're already thinking about what you can do in a few transfer windows. So I think back him in this transfer window, and I'm excited to see where we end up come the end of the season, Jake.
Yeah. Speaking of the transfer window then, because we don't want to rattle on about Monday's game too much, Tom, we're going to talk us through a few rumours that we have seen over the past 7 days or so since the start of the transfer window. And Kieran Sadlier, you may remember his name floating about a couple of seasons ago. Kenny Jackett was reportedly interested in bringing him to Fratton Park from the League of Ireland. He opted to choose Doncaster Rovers instead. Pompey missed out on their man, currently playing for Rotherham United. And according to our colleagues at the Portsmouth News, Pompey are in battle with Charlton Athletic and Bolton Wanderers for the signature of Kieran Sadlier. Tom Malley, what are your thoughts on that one? Would this be a good signing for Pompey? And would this be someone we actually need?
Yeah, it's been one of the earlier rumours, hasn't it? I think it would be a decent signing. I think when I first saw it pop up, I wasn't surprised, but you know, I was, you know, it kind of came to my thought that this would be a signing that could be beneficial, but it's one that's going to have to be used wisely. I mean, there's no point getting these loan players in if we're not going to use them. We've seen this too many times in recent January windows. You know, so I mean, it's a difficult one. Whether we need him or not, it's difficult because we've got great options. I do believe that, but we need the backup. And if he's going to come in just to be used as a backup, I don't see the point. We need people that are going to come in straight into the first team to provide the quality that we need. But I think Sadlier is a good addition if we can get him. But you know, it just depends what happens. I mean, knowing us, we'll lose out to another club. But we need to move quickly and act fast if we're going to do it.
Yeah, and Ryan, I'm going to ask you the question. I think I know what the answer is. I think everybody knows what the answer to this question is. But where do Pompey need to strengthen the most in this January transfer window? And I think there are only two correct answers you could give me.
Well, I can't believe you just asked me that, Jake, to be honest. I mean, I'm going to say a striker.
Absolutely.
And potentially someone to go in the middle of the park alongside Joe Morrell.
Okay.
As well. I think a centre-half as well wouldn't go amiss, obviously, with Ogilvy and Freeman playing out of position. Although, I have to add, Ogilvy has been, I think, exceptional, converted into that left-side centre-half alongside Raggett. So, I mean, I think there are areas to improve, but I think striker being the main one.
I must admit, Ryan, I wasn't expecting you to say a central midfielder alongside Joe Morrell. I mean, absolutely fair enough. Would you not be satisfied somewhat with the options that Danny Cowley's already got on it? You know, Joe Morrell, Sean Williams, Ryan Tynecliffe, Louis Thompson. Are these players who, you know, brought in the summer, is this because they just haven't excited you enough? Do they not quite fit the system? Do you genuinely believe that a better centre mid or a different centre mid would be better suited to play alongside Joe Morrell?
I think that's a tricky one. I mean, Joe Morrell, you know, he can complement pretty much anyone. Although I don't think he had the best of games against Cambridge. That's a one-off for him, the first game back after COVID or whatever illness he did have. I think it's an interesting one because Tunnicliffe made such an impact at the start of the season, and people were expecting massive, massive things. But it just never really materialised as the games went on. And then he got injured, and we haven't really seen him since. And Sean Williams is another interesting one, stepping down from the Championship. You're thinking, you know, we've got an experienced head here, our new Tom Naylor, if you like, someone who can pass the ball, someone who can break up play, win headers. And I don't want to criticise, but I don't think it's quite happened for him in the middle of the park. I mean, his set pieces haven't really been up to scratch. I mean, his passing, not really doing it for me in the middle. So I think if we can bring in a centre midfielder, I mean, I don't want to say his name, but someone like Ben Thompson with a bit of energy, someone who can complement Joe Morrell, I think those two would be the ultimate centre midfield pairing in this division.
Yeah. Fair enough. Speaking of players who had a game on Monday, Tom, Ryan's just mentioned there, Joe Morrell perhaps not having the best game of his Pompey career, but one man who certainly was outstanding on that afternoon at the Abbey Stadium, as he has been ever since he signed at the end of August, Marlon Romeo. What a player.
Yeah, my player of the season so far, 100%. He looks like he's from the Championship. You know, the quality is there. You can see he stands out on the pitch for more than one reason. No surprise that he's had another good game on Monday. I would love to have him permanently at the club. I think that would be a fantastic addition. But, you know, these things don't go quite as simple as that. But, yeah, I think he's a prime example of the signings we need to be bringing in. And especially if it's going to be loan signings, there's no point bringing in loan signings that aren't up to standards. We need to bring ones in, such as Romeo, who can do the job like that and fit in straight away. And he's come at a leader on the pitch as well. And to bring a lone player in who can do that is even more impressive in my opinion. But as you say, what a player, and my player this season so far, and I'm sure he's many other people's as well.
Yeah. And it certainly goes without saying, Ryan, but Marlon Romeo unsettled at Millwall, so we hear potentially a free agent in the summer as well. Goes without saying, no matter what division Pompey are in next season, League One or the Championship, you'd like to think he will be one of Danny Cowley's top targets on a permanent deal.
You'd like to think so. I mean, but, you know, the season he's having, Jake, I mean, he'll have a number of clubs interested in him, and not just in League One. I'm sure Championship clubs will be hovering as well, because he's putting in performances that are catching the eye. It speaks for itself. He's a Championship player. As Tom was saying, he's a Championship footballer at the end of the day. He has been with Millwall for a number of years. And you wonder why no Championship clubs actually came in for him in the summer, because I remember seeing him in the Carabao Cup game at Millwall, and he ran us ragged. He ran us ragged, and it surprised me that he hasn't really been getting the game time. I know he's a bit unsettled, like you say, at the Den, but Championship clubs, I was really surprised that they never went in for him, because I think he's a real talent.
Yeah. Ryan, Tom, thank you both very much. We'll catch up with you guys again in just a few moments' time. But we've just reached 20 past six here on Express FM. It is time for the first of two ad breaks of tonight's edition of the Football Hour. Don't forget, back home, we'd love to hear your thoughts as well. All the usual ways, 81400 is the number to text. Start your messages with the word Express. Email pompey@expressfm.com. Tweet using @ExpressFM, or you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PompeyLive. We'd love to know, out of all the transfer targets Pompey have been linked with in the last 6 days, who would you most like to see Danny Cowley bring to Fratton Park? How much squad rotation are you expecting for tomorrow night's trip to Exeter City EFL Trophy? And what do you think the score will be at St James's Park? Don't go anywhere and join us again for part two in just a few moments' time.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome to part two of tonight's edition of the Football Hour here on Express FM, driven to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South. You join us this evening, myself, Jake Smith, alongside Ryan Honey and Tom Malley. We are here until 7 o'clock to preview Pompey's EFL Trophy round of 32 fixture with Exeter City at St James's Park tomorrow night. It is a 7:30 kickoff. Coverage here on Pompey Live starts at 7 o'clock. Myself and Robbie James will bring you all of the action as it happens. And before the three of us come on to preview that one, before we continue to talk about more transfer speculation, We're going to remind you of one of my favourite ever Pompey games. Exeter are the opponents tomorrow night in the round of 32 of the EFL Trophy. Now, the last time Pompey played the Grecians was back in February 2020. It was the semi-final stage of the competition of that season. And quite a dramatic game it was at Fratton Park. In case you can't remember it, I don't know what you're thinking if you can't remember it, but I'm going to relive it all for you anyway. Here we go. Pompey against Exeter 2020, one of my favourite ever games.
This competition has been much maligned in its current format with the under-23 sides involved. But for Portsmouth, it's already yielded one trip to Wembley and one trophy. And tonight, it seems to have caught the imagination of the city. On a pretty horrible night weather-wise, this half-term bumper crowd, though, have come. And looking at the team sheets, they will expect to cheer on the Blues to make it to Wembley for a second consecutive season. McGinn down the left finds Curtis just inside the penalty area. Curtis from the dead ball into Harrison. Oh, he's missed his kick and it's cleared away. And it should have been an opening goal for Portsmouth. It's instead a corner kick. Seddon back in with his left foot to the far post. Ward fumbles it. Marcus, he's put it in the net. He's claiming he has. We're not interested. Cleared away. No goal line technology here. Pompey send the ball back into the penalty area. Burgess is there. Wins the header straight to the goalkeeper. Still 0-0. Law, he's got space to hit one from here. Can Law play it into the area? Possible chance for Martin. Exeter with plenty of numbers. Martin's shot. Naylor flies into a challenge. Denies him. And it's a corner kick. Marcus lays it off. Can Harness deliver this time into the area? Hawkins, great save! Wonderful save! From Ward, best chance Portsmouth have had, closest they've come, 0-0. Now to McGeehan. He'll see space down the left if he looks, instead he'll go to the right. Harness outside the area. Can he get a shot away? Harness drilled it, just wide of the post. Inches away. Crowd becoming edgy now, wanting that goal. It's going to be a right-footed in-swinging corner to be sent in. Four lined up in a train on the penalty spot, in towards the near post. Bass makes a mess of it. Pompey can't clear. It's into the net. Exeter have scored. Jake Taylor has smashed it in. Bass couldn't hold it. And Exeter have got the lead. It's Portsmouth 0, Exeter 1. Marcus gets the ball again. Curtis in all kinds of space. Curtis clean off the line. Harness. Goal. Pompey do get their goal. Marcus Harness. Belief is what you can hear around Fratton Park because they've levelled it up. Curtis's effort cleared off the line. Harness scores. Portsmouth 1. Exeter 1. Ball to the near post. And an own goal of Christian Burgess. The ball is in. Exeter have surely booked their place at Wembley. Christian Burgess has passed, put the ball past his own goalkeeper. And it's Portsmouth 1, Exeter 2. Put it into the net. A magnificent goal. Cameron McGeehan with his left foot. What a cool finish. Cameron McGeehan. What a final quarter hour. Brings it down in the penalty area. Curtis across the face of goal. Marquez! Marquez! He's won it! 96 minutes on the clock. Portsmouth are heading back to Wembley. They've done it in the most dramatic circumstances. John Marquez has done it. Pompey are heading to Wembley. It's Portsmouth 3. Enter the 2. The clearance is long. The whistle goes. Portsmouth are going back to Wembley thanks to two goals in stoppage time to beat a spirited Exeter side. It's finished Portsmouth 3, Exeter 2.
Wow. What a day that was at Fratton Park. Pompey booking their place in the final of the EFL Trophy in 2020. Of course, that match didn't take place until 2021. Salford City eventual winners at Wembley. But that doesn't mean anything, does it, lads? Ryan Honey and Tom Malley joining me on the show this evening. Ryan, that Exeter game will go down in history as one of just greatest comebacks this football club has ever had, conceding in the 89th minute, equalising in the 92nd and scoring the winner in the 96th minute with Wembley the carrot dangling above. It does not get any better than that. Apparently it could get better than that. I don't think Ryan's there. Tom Malley, are you there, my friend?
I am indeed.
Yep. I'd like to think, Tom, you appreciate that one a little bit more than perhaps Ryan does. But what a night that was at Fratton Park.
Yeah, it really was. As you say there, I think 89th minute, 2-1 down. The last thing you expect is for us to come back and win 3-2 with such little time that's left on the clock. You know, I think it would have been even better if it was a more prestigious cup competition, shall we say. But nonetheless, you know, what a night. And I think it was our, yeah, it was our second final in a row following the Sunderland one, was if I'm not incorrect there. Yeah, I mean, whether we'll have the same sort of excitement and drama in the game tomorrow, probably not. But yeah, a game that will go down in the memory for a while, that's for sure.
I do believe we've got Ryan Honey back with us. Ryan, you all right, mate?
Yeah, sorry about that. I was going off on one and my mic wasn't working. So
no problem at all. That is the beauty of what we are doing right now.
Yeah, I remember the game very well. A fantastic last sort of 15 minutes or so, wasn't it? I mean, I don't think I've actually witnessed a game that has been that much of a roller coaster, to be honest. I mean, and like you say, the prize of a place at Wembley up for grabs, and that's what we all witnessed. It was special, and I don't think, you know, a game like that should have been remembered in the way it was. Yeah. Just to lose the final the way in which we did. So the game was brilliant, but to lose the final, I think, takes the gloss off it a little.
Yeah, definitely. And I think what also made that match a bit special as well, Tom, was the fact that, you know, that came at a time not long before the season was curtailed for COVID. I know at the time, February, we were all aware of the dangers of this new virus, which was coming about. I think most expected the season to be called off at some point. You had the Exeter game, you had the FA Cup match against Arsenal at Fratton Park, albeit a defeat, a fantastic night at PO4, that one, and then of course the home game against Fleetwood in the league being the final match before the curtailment of the season. But you had those three matches, which I think for a lot of Pompey fans who obviously didn't manage to get to a game for quite some time, with matches being played behind closed doors, seasons being stopped and started and stopped and started, you know, those were the moments Pompey fans really fondly remembered as, you know, one of their last games for quite a long time as well.
Absolutely, and it's not just the moments that we remembered, it's the moments that we missed as we went into the lockdown and the behind closed doors football season. So I think it was almost a bit, you know, quite nice to have that sort of, that kind of game before all of that came about. You know, it's not often you get moments in cup competitions like that, especially, you know, at the level we're at in League One. We're not going to get, you know, magical moments in the FA Cup and the Carabao Cup, you know, like we may have used to. So this competition provided that for us, and you know, what a way to almost go out just before the COVID season hit, I guess.
Yeah. So this season around, Ryan, Pompey do play Exeter City again. That was the last time the two sides faced off with one another. It's not quite the semi-final stage this time around. It is the first knockout phase for both sides. Pompey went through in the group stages, again, rather dramatically. It all looked dead and buried. Wimbledon beating the Blues 5-3 at Plough Lane for the first group stage game back in September. We then lost 2-0 at home to Sutton in November. And then against the Crystal Palace under-21s in December, it was a case of Pompey had to win by 3 goals in order to have any chance of progressing to the next stage of the competition, with Wimbledon and Sutton, that result needing to go in the Blues' favour as well. And in added time, George Hurst made it 3-0 to Pompey, and the Blues were through to the knockout stages. Again, just the Blues' love affair with this competition continues.
It does. It does. I mean, it is very much Pompey to leave it like that, in that fashion, and go through the way in which we did. But I wouldn't have it any other way, Jake, to be honest. I mean, it's a competition that, you know, we've come very far in recent years, winning it in 2019, the final the following year. And it's just one of those things where, you know, it builds up that tension of, realistically, the chance of getting to Wembley. And that's what every football fan dreams of. And, you know, this year, why not do it again?
Yeah. Why not, indeed, Tom? If Pompey do beat Exeter tomorrow, we mentioned it at the top of the show, they will go to Cambridge on Tuesday night, just 8 days after they previously did. Of course, that game on Monday afternoon in League One being drawn 0-0. That would be the round of 16 of the competition. Pompey and Exeter have got some catching up to do because this match has been postponed twice. I think this is overall the fourth date we've had to play this match. Originally, there were troubles with Exeter's FA Cup tie with Bradford. They had to replay their replay, and that overlapped with the original time for this game. And then, of course, due to COVID hitting in the December period, the game had to be postponed again, and it is finally being played tomorrow evening. Not sure why it's not on Saturday. Both sides have got Saturday free. No one's playing on Monday. It baffles me, that one. I don't understand why, but it's being played tomorrow. Tom, Pompey going all the way in the trophy this season. A, do you see it? B, would you like it?
Yeah, I see it. It really wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I don't think we should even be where we are now. None of us were expecting us to get through the group having lost the first two games, as you said earlier. Miraculously, we managed to beat Palace under 21s 3-0 and get to this stage. It wouldn't surprise me if we were to now go on and get to the final, you know, in the unlikely circumstances. Would I want it? I mean, going off previous history of our runs in this competition and the impact it's had on our league form, not really. I don't particularly fancy another season in this league. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not expecting us to go up 100%. You know, playoffs is going to be a tough one. However, you know, we can see how cup competitions can hamper your league form, but at the same time, fair enough, they can also assist it. If you're giving fringe players and reserve players and players who need minutes, you know, that game time. Ideally, yeah. I would rather we get out of it and focus on the league, but you know, who knows.
One of the players who we might see feature tomorrow night, Ryan, is Haji Manoga. And there's also some transfer news regarding him, which we'll touch on upon after the break as well. But Haji Manoga possibly in line for a Pompey return. Of course, he spent half a season on loan at Bromley, not quite the loan period he was expecting, or Danny Cowley was hoping him to have. A bit of a nightmare scenario for Haji Manoga. Maybe he'll move on in the second half of this season. But for this week, he is expected to line up for Pompey at Exeter tomorrow. It'd be great to see another one of Pompey's graduates from the academy come through. We've seen him before, time and time again. He's a great player. He's got some huge potential on that right-hand side, be it in right back, right wing back, maybe even a bit further forward as well. Is he a player you're looking forward to seeing in action?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's obviously not had the best stint away at Bromley in the first half of the season. So it's an opportunity for him to come back into the team and try and, you know, impress. I mean, it's been heavily linked now to going out on loan to Weymouth, I believe, for the second half of the season. Yeah. But whether that happens or not, we'll soon see. But, you know, like you say, Jake, it's one out of our academy. And I think most Pompey fans would like to see our academy graduates in the team when they can. So in a game tomorrow in the Checkatrade Trophy, just give them a go, yeah.
Yeah. In terms of rotation for this match, Tom, how much are you expecting? Because, of course, the next league game doesn't come until January the 15th. That is next Saturday. MK Dons at Fratton Park. If we do beat Exeter tomorrow, it is a trip to Cambridge on Tuesday night, but that's also the EFL trophy. So are you expecting a lot of squad rotation, or perhaps, you know, due to the fact we've had so much time off due to COVID, Danny Cowley's looking at this game as an opportunity to bring the first team, you know, continue to get them some game minutes, some experience, and ultimately some practice leading up to that MK Dons game?
Yeah, naturally, you'd expect him to rotate the squad for this one. And prioritise the league, but you know we've got that weak gap, so you'd think he might go quite strong. However, if we win this, we've then got to fist in another game before the MK Dons game, so it's a bit of a difficult one. You know, does he go strong for this to get through to the next round and then have to play another game before MK Dons and probably rotate the squad more for the Cambridge one? I don't know. It's an interesting one. I think given the time off we've had, 3 weeks or so, he probably would like the squad to start gelling together again and gain a bit of momentum. So, you know, whilst I would expect him to make squad rotation for this game, it wouldn't surprise me if he did go quite strong for it as well.
Yeah. Okay, then we'll be back with you guys in just a few moments' time. It's time for our final break of the evening. Pompey fans back home, let us know your score predictions. All the usual ways can be found on our website, expressfm.com. Dan is going for a 2-0 Pompey win, expecting some squad rotation as well. Keith is going for a 3-0 Pompey win, hoping also to see Hadji Manoga start for the Blues tomorrow night at Exeter. Myself, Ryan and Tom will be back in just a few moments' time to go over the final text, tweets and emails from you guys back home, and we'll also continue to go through some transfer speculation and preview tomorrow night's trip to Exeter City. Don't go anywhere and join us again in just a few moments' time here on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back for the final time tonight to the Football Hour here on Express FM. Brought to you this season by Stagecoach across the South. Head to stagecoachbus.com for more information on routes, fares and timetables, as well as all you need to know on how Stagecoach are keeping Hampshire and the South Coast a cleaner, greener place to use public transport. Ryan Honey and Tom Malley alongside me this evening until 7 o'clock, just over 15 minutes until we do leave you here on Express FM, where after the news at 7, Chris Pearce is here with Express This Week. But until then, Ryan, let's continue to go through some transfer rumours then. And a lot of this news coming from our friends at the Portsmouth News. They are on the ball 24/7 with all we need to know on transfer rumours at Fratton Park. We've spoken about Marlon Romeo and about how he potentially may be a free agent in the summer. We briefly mentioned Hadji Manoga as well. And you mentioned before the break that he is in line for a loan move to Weymouth for the second half of this season. Now, when he went to Bromley in the National League at the start of this campaign, there were a few eyebrows raised as to the level of which his loan club were playing, and potentially the fact that Hadji Manoga could play in League Two. He's got the capability of doing so even in League One. So to drop down to Weymouth, also in the National League, don't get me wrong, but fighting relegation in the same division, is that a surprise to you, or is it purely down to the location of the club, I guess, and the links to the former Pompey and Havant Waterlooville players at the club as well?
I think there are potential categories to put that in, Jake, to be fair. I mean Hadji Manoga, it hasn't quite worked out for him at Bromley. I mean, a red card here and poor performances have sort of started to rack up, and you know, that limited his game time. So I think the move to Weymouth, which looks like it's going to happen, will offer him, obviously at the same level, a clean slate in regards to playing time, a new set of fans to impress. And I think it'll just see it as a clean slate, and it'll go there and try and work his way up the football pyramid, because there is potential there. You know, he's a powerful lad at the back. He's fast and he's good in the air. So, I mean, it's just going to be about nailing down that place at Weymouth and seeing where he goes from there.
Yeah, and absolutely, Hadji Manoga does need that kind of clean slate, doesn't he, Tom, to get going with a new club, show, you know, the manager there what he's got about him. And at Bromley, failed to start a single match during that time, coming on as a sub for the majority of his time at Bromley. Ryan mentioned there a bit of a torrid time at Bromley, if red card here and there, and not getting the minutes, not getting the kind of progress that Danny Carley would like to see from Hadji Manoga. This is an opportunity for him to get that progress and come back to Fratton Park potentially in the summer and try to stake a claim in this team.
Yeah, definitely. It's an interesting one, because Bromley, I think they're sort of pushing for the playoffs in the National League, so therefore you think that Hadji might almost thrive in a team that's trying to be successful and do well. Didn't end up getting the minutes he wanted, so therefore we couldn't really do that. He's now going to a club at the opposite end of the table, fighting relegation. Now, whether that means he can stand out more, slot straight into that defence, and you know, put in the performances that can help him escape that job, might be better for him, because he can, you know, show what he's about and, you know, prove a point as well, as you say. So, you know, it could be a good move for him. It could be a better move for him than the Bromley one, definitely. I guess only time will tell, and we'll have to see. But a clean slate, I think, is probably the more important thing for him. And as you say, performing in front of new fans and a fresh start in general to showcase what he's about.
Yeah. Another potential departure, perhaps even in the coming days, Ryan, is Ellis Harrison, who in the summer, and we spoke about it on Tuesday night as well, Ellis Harrison linked with a permanent move to Plymouth Argyle. That fell through at the final hour and he remains a Pompey player. But Ellis Harrison, this evening, it's been reported by Neil Allen from the Portsmouth News, is imminent to a Fratton Park exit. The likes of Bristol Rovers, Fleetwood and Shrewsbury all apparently interested in his services. So that could be a departure in the coming days. Does that surprise you one bit?
Not really, Jake. I mean, unfortunately for Ellis Harrison, it hasn't quite worked out for him. He's brought in to score goals, and even then it hasn't really worked out in that department. He hasn't really nailed down that striker berth at the helm of our team. And it's a shame, really, because, you know, there was a lot of hype. Kenny Jackett spent a lot of money to bring him to the club. He impressed in pre-season. He looked a real force up front. He looked powerful, winning headers, flick-ons. And you're thinking, you know, we've got a player on our hands, but, you know, it never really happened for him. But I just wonder whether that Fleetwood youngster Hill going to Bournemouth may trigger them signing Harrison. He might give him a bit of money and push through that transfer. That's what I'm hoping, because I think he's another one like Hadji Onoga. He deserves a fresh slate to try and score some goals at this level.
Yeah, absolutely. And with it being transfer window season, lads, there are going to be rumours left, right and centre. But John Marquis has been again reported attracting interest from a number of clubs over the last couple of weeks. I know a lot of Pompey fans are unhappy with the goal return of John Marquis this season, and potentially Peterborough were interested, as well as Doncaster Rovers. Both of them, again, this is all hearsay, but apparently both of them pulled out of the deal, were not interested when it all came down to it. We're hearing today Mansfield are preparing an audacious attempt to try and tempt John Marquis to be playing League Two football for the rest of the season. But that really goes to further emphasise, Tom, that Pompey need a striker.
Yeah, we do. We do indeed. I think, and I'm almost under the impression that we need Harrison and or Marquis to go before we bring one in. So I think the deals for these two players leaving the club could come along quite quickly in order for us to bring in players. I wouldn't be surprised to see both go at all. I just hope that we bring in the right replacements and not, you know, two underachieving loan moves. But I think both of them have, Marquis started well. I think he's just sort of dipped off in the past year, hasn't he? And he can't provide us the goals and needs to get us out of this division. And Harrison's never really sort of been there either. I don't think they've been bad signings. They just haven't been providing enough of what we need. It's a shame because they both had a lot of promise when they came to the club, especially Marquis and the money we spent on him. But unfortunately, things don't always go that way. And now it looks like both could be out of the club.
Yeah. Well, Danny Cowley does currently have four strikers within his Pompey squad: John Marquis, Ellis Harrison, George Hurst and Ghassan Ahadmi. Now, if these rumours are true, if Ellis Harrison does depart Fratton Park, if John Marquis does find a new club in this transfer window, you've also got the reported recall of Ghassan Ahadmi to Norwich City. They're not too happy with his game time at Fratton Park. Danny Cowley could be left with only one striker, George Hurst, on loan from Leicester City. So you would like to think a new one would be coming before the deadline at the end of the month. And our colleagues from Hampshire Live, Jonty Coleman, reporting that he spoke to Danny Cowley about links regarding George Thomas from Queen's Park Rangers. He is an attacker. Ryan, have you heard much about George Thomas? Do you know if he would be the kind of player to replace potentially John Marquis and Ellis Harrison?
Not for me, Jake, not for me. I mean, he's not a goal scorer. Mm-hmm. He's not renowned for scoring goals.
At the end of the day, that's what Pompey have missed this season, scoring
exactly.
goals. Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned George Thomas there, Jake. I mean, someone that popped up on my timeline on Twitter today handing in a transfer request was Freddy Ladapo of Rotherham. I think that would be a signing of intent. He's a very well-versed goal scorer at this level. as was John Marquis, but we saw what happened with him. But I think, you know, a punt in the dark on Freddy Ladapo would be the way forward, in my eyes, looking at what's in front of us right now.
Yeah. OK, then, enough of the transfer talk. Let's talk a little bit about tomorrow night's EFL Trophy knockout fixture at St James's Park. Pompey, they take on Exeter City for a 7:30 kick-off. And here is all you need to know about this weekend's opponents. After two postponements, it is finally time for Pompey's EFL Trophy round of 32 tie. 2020 semi-final opponents Exeter City await at St James's Park.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
The Blues head into their second game of the year off the back of a 0-0 draw at Cambridge in League One on Monday afternoon, and they'll be going back there again on Tuesday night if they can secure victory in this one. Here is an insight into the opponents who stand in Pompey's way, the Grecians.
Manager.
Former Exeter, Charlton Athletic and Cheltenham Town defender Matt Taylor is now in charge of the League Two side. The 39-year-old has been at the helm since June 2018, replacing Paul Tisdale, who had been in the job for 12 years before taking charge of MK Dons. Taylor has overseen 189 matches in charge of the Grecians, securing 79 victories, accumulating a win percentage of 41.8.
One to watch.
Our one to watch this time around is forward Sam Nombe. The 23-year-old only signed for Exeter in the summer, signing a three-year contract for an undisclosed fee from MK Dons. He scored his first goal in red and white on September the 18th in a 2-0 home win over Sutton United. The former MK striker, who had spells out on loan with Oxford City, Maidenhead United and Luton Town, wears the number 10 shirt at St James's Park. Nombe has found the back of the net on six occasions from just 12 appearances for his new club.
Top scorer.
Exeter's leading scorer at this stage in League Two is 25-year-old forward Matt Jay, who has netted 10 league goals and registered two assists since the start of the season. The attacking midfielder, who hails from Torbay, just down the road from Exeter, has been at the club since 2003, spending 10 years in the youth setup before turning pro in 2013. At the start of his Exeter career, Jay enjoyed two short spells on loan at Weston-super-Mare and Hayes and Yedding. He has since appeared over 100 times for the Grecians, scoring a total of 29 goals. Matt Jay has found the back of the net once in the trophy this campaign, from the penalty spot to earn a point against the Chelsea under-21s in Exeter's opening group stage fixture, which they would go on to lose on penalties.
Current form.
Matt Taylor's side are currently 8th in League 2, just a point and a place behind the playoffs, with exactly half a season remaining. The Grecians had occupied a higher position until recently. They haven't won any of their last five in all competitions, recording four straight defeats before a goalless draw with Forest Green Rovers on Tuesday night. The last time the Blues came up against this opponent was back in March 2020, and we all know how that one ended. Exeter were 2-1 up at Fratton Park in that season's semi-final, with just added time to get through, until Cameron McGeehan popped up with an equaliser on the 91st minute, and John Marquis completed the comeback on 90+6 to send Pompey through to Wembley. Who will make it through to the last 16 of this season's EFL Trophy? Exeter City or Pompey? All of the unmissable action on Pompey Live. A closer look there at tomorrow's opponents, Exeter City, in the round of 32 at St James's Park of this season's EFL Trophy. And Ryan Honey and Tom Malley alongside me for the next couple of minutes or so. Going to read out a few more text tweets and emails before we do leave you then. Gav Jones, good evening, gents. Let's hope we can make it a bit more comfortable tomorrow night and leave our nerves intact this time. I do not think I could handle the same level of drama this time around. The reason the game is being played on Friday is because both teams agreed to play on the Friday to give themselves an extra day's rest should they progress into the next round against Cambridge. I hope that helps clear things up. Gav, thank you very much. I did not know that. 2-0 Pompey tomorrow night, says Gav on the predictions. Take care, play at Pompey. Gav, thank you so much for your email and for that bit of information as well. A very busy Christmas. That one must have escaped me. And Mike T in Crispy Bacon Sarnie Salsi. Great to hear from you, Mike. Hi, Jake Way and the lads. Pompey need to bring an additional striker in this window. I think the stats show it, especially up front. It has to be an established, in-form, can hit the ground running kind of striker who is able to play at a faster pace that we operate. We do need more goals. I hope Gavin Bazunu stays. I think he will. But it's not 100% certain with Manchester City holding all of the cards. Well, I do believe, Mike, that Manchester City can only recall him if they have a goalkeeping crisis of their own. So unlikely, unless they've got a few goalkeeping injuries to hit them. But thank you ever so much for your text there, Mike. OK, let's get to these score predictions now. Ryan Honey, Pompey away to Exeter tomorrow night. What are you going for, my friend?
I think we're gonna come out 2-0 winners.
2-0 winners, says Ryan. Thank you very much, Ryan, for joining us on the show tonight. It's been a pleasure to have you on, mate.
No, thank you very much, Jake. It's been good as always.
And score prediction, please. Tom Malley, what are you going for, my friend?
I think no matter the team, I think I'm going to go for a tight 1-0 win to Pompey.
Tight 1-0 win for Pompey. Likewise, Tom, great to have you on the show. We'll hear from you again soon, pal. Have a great week.
Yeah, brilliant, mate. Thank you very much.
We'll hear from those two again very, very soon. For the record, I'm going to go for a 3-1 Pompey win tomorrow night. If you're not heading to St James's Park, you can catch all of the unmissable action here on Express FM when Pompey Live returns. 7 p.m. It's a 7:30 kickoff.
All the unmissable action.
This is Pompey Live.
The EFL Trophy round of 32 awaits for Pompey.
Harness, goal! Pompey do get their goal! But it's into the net! A magnificent goal! Hamra McGeehan! Marquez! Marquez! He's won it!
Join us here on Pompey Live from 7 o'clock tomorrow.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
We look forward to welcoming you here on Express FM for that one. Myself and Robbie James and a guest as well also joining us for the visit to Exeter City in the round of 32 of this season's EFL Trophy. The award at the end of that is a trip to Cambridge United on Tuesday night in the round of 16. Just a few wins away from Wembley if they can make it there. Okay, coming up here on Express FM this evening, after the 7 o'clock news, Express This Week with Chris Pearce. He'll be chatting with Ross McNally from Hampshire Chamber of Commerce, as well as Annabelle Cox from School Readers. Chaz Burns back with his rock show between 9 and 11. Chaz has got rock music, news, gossip and interviews, as well as new releases and classic rock tracks as well. The Express Wind Down is back from 11 through to the early hours of Friday morning. And then tomorrow, Nicola Lashley wakes you up with Express Breakfast from 6:30. Gloria Miller's back from 10 through till 1. Ian James returns from 1 through till 4. And then Darren Gamblin sits in for James Percy with Drive Time from 4 through until 6 o'clock. Well, thank you ever so much for listening, Pompey fans. We'll hear from you again tomorrow night. Pompey taking on Exeter in the EFL Trophy. Coverage here on Express FM, 7 p.m. Have a great weekend. Have a good night. And take care. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.